Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
Neun und neunzig Podcast. I don't know. 99!
99! The last double digit podcast.
Yep.
Ever.
Now, of course, in French, it would really be 99, which is 4 times 20 plus 10 plus 9. Because French is a beautifully idiotic language.
Yes. It is the language of love.
It is the language of love. I don't even know how you would say 69 in French. It's probably because it would be three.
No, what would it be? Saying,
so it'd be like, trois vingt neuf, right? Trois vingt neuf, three times 20 plus 9. I don't know. Trayvon Martin. Oh, too soon.
So anyway, yeah, podcast number 99, the last one before we hit the century mark.
Yes, the century. Our centennial celebratory masturbatory podcast.
Yeah,
I hope not, because it's got a Tony Becerra involved. So
I do not want to get any of that on.
Maybe me. We hope.
Yeah,
I don't.
Well, true.
So you guys might notice that we are lacking a Tyler J. Hill. Tyler is sick. He's
still
coughing. I heard his cough, and you don't want him on this podcast.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
Is it a whooping cough?
No.
No?
No. It's a hacking cough.
Because that's going around. No, I mean, whooping
no,
cough.
No, I know.
It's like an epidemic in Washington. And more of the people getting it this year, like threefold from last year.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the recipients of said whooping cough are adults and not children.
Is that a pertussis? Is that the actual name or something like that?
I think that's correct.
Yeah. No, I don't want that.
Nope.
Well, I hope it's not whooping cough, but I've had my whooping cough vaccination, so I'm good.
Whoo! Narrowly avoided that one. Whoop! There it is.
No. No.
But we do have someone much shorter.
We do?
Filling in the much smaller shoes.
Did we lower his mic for him? It looks like we lowered his mic for him.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So, do you want to do the introduction?
Okay.
Oh.
What can I say about this man that he hasn't already said about himself?
Well, he finally found us.
He did, yes.
Frequent contributor in terms of questions and comments.
The only Twitter, well, no, not only, because Rival Guy has proved that he exists on the Twitter. However, outside of Rival Guy, the only guy who writes in questions on Twitter for us on a semi-reliably regular-ish basis.
Also the target of all of Scott's sporting rage.
Yes.
Something about Cowboys and Yankees, I don't know.
Yeah, Cowboys yanking themselves.
Oh boy.
They're worse than Patriots.
Yet, look at the shirt he's wearing today. He's wearing a Seattle shirt.
He is. Mm-hmm. He is. And he's trying real hard to keep
straight
his mouth
straight. From New Jersey comes Thomas Brophy.
From exit 167 on the turnpike.
Oh, that old gag.
Oh.
How you doing, fellas? Good to be here.
Hey, Tommy.
How's it going?
It's going great. And yeah.
You got that Paramus Mall smell to you, that nice freshness?
Paramus Park Mall to you.
Paramus Park Mall to me. Well. Just well. The mall to most, you know what
yes,
I'm saying?
Yes, it is just the mall. Actually, Garden State Plaza is actually just the mall.
Yeah.
That's kind of supplanted the Paramus Park.
Okay, quit looking at me.
Well, malls just kind of don't exist anymore.
Talk into your mic.
Talk into the mic, yes.
Yeah,
we'll make it easy.
Uh-oh. My idea of a mall is, that helps. Is Amazon.
I like working off
.com,
people directly.
So.
Right.
Nice. So welcome, Thomas.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, what you've been up to?
I certainly will. I am an actor in the Seattle area.
Mm-hmm.
I have actually worked with Scott on the anniversary. which is now run.
Oh, really? Just Scott on the end. Okay,
oh, and Andy. No, oh, no, my whatever. Goodness. It's fine. It's fine. That's it's right. Fine. Right. That's no, right.
No, no. Well, worked with
he
me.
He truly worked on with the end. That's yeah. true. In a
we're
broke
all
ass down yeah. Gas station. Probably a
that
lot of
we didn't have access to until the day of, and then yes. realized it, we needed a hazmat crew.
And it's now
it was a horror,
but it's now Run High Die, I believe.
Run High Die.
Run High Die.
Run High Die, and is 20 minutes shorter. On
20 minutes shorter, but we're still in it because I saw the trailer, and we are in the trailer.
Yes.
So woo-hoo!
Yeah, there you go.
Coming to Amazon on September 1st.
I don't know if I'm even in it. I don't know if that whole opening stayed.
I hope so.
I'm
because
sure
the greasy spoon guy, just
yeah,
like.
Yeah, but I don't know. So you know that the whole, like that whole opening, and I'm sorry, spoilers, I don't care. But the whole opening thing, it's the albatross joke, right?
Right.
It's the old albatross joke where the blind man goes into a restaurant, orders albatross, takes a bite, and then kills himself.
Right.
Because he realizes that what he was eating while he was stranded wasn't albatross, it was human.
Right.
And so she goes in, orders venison, takes a taste, realizes what you've been eating is human, bam.
Boom.
So it's not necessary for the run, hide, die thing, in my opinion.
Really? That's what all that was?
Yeah.
She was you were cutting up humans?
No, I was cutting up venison.
Okay.
But what she ate before and was told was venison in the movie, you probably couldn't hear it, but what she was told was venison in the movie.
was she told in the room with all five screaming actresses?
No,
and
it, was when she was,
talking?
It was when she was captive.
Okay.
So she was being fed venison, and
right.
it was actually human.
Oh, yeah, I totally lost that. Yeah.
Oh, all right, well, now you know.
But I
kind of
tuned out after the gas station. I
yeah.
thought those two assholes did it.
Oh, okay. I just thought you were like, wow, those guys were sexy. Now that's what I'm thinking
yeah.
about. I like that.
Need me some 50s malt shop hat, dude.
What yeah. I liked was that everything in that gas station was fucking gross, except your pristine paper hats. They
yes.
were fucking pristine. Like, fresh out of the package that morning.
Hey, that's Johnny Rocket's paper hat, my friend.
Oh, there you go.
I stole it from him.
Good.
Like,
hey.
His personal hat.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, just that Johnny Rocket guy.
I don't know when I'll use that prop again, but it worked just for there.
You should just use it all the time. That should just be your hat.
Just
now.
My hat.
That's just, your, that's
like
just what you wear.
Yeah.
Like 100% of the time, Brophy's in that fucking hat. I oh,
like
really?
It.
I'm a priest? Sorry.
Yeah.
Hat.
Hat.
You gotta
hire me,
to
gotta hire
it.
The hat.
You're gonna have to shoot around it. You're gonna be the only person on camera whose head's just cut off.
Yeah.
Like, why is he in CinemaScope and no one else? Hat. I don't know. So.
And
that's
fun.
He's
yes.
a soda jerk.
Yep.
Well,
sometimes just a jerk.
Oh,
you said
like,
it, not
me. Yes.
I just like the thought that you guys are like putting raspberry or like egg cream into the engines because it's yeah. a normal fucking soda jerk hat. But I mean, they wore those, right? The
yeah.
Car hops?
In the 50s
yeah.
back, yeah.
Or car hop
absolutely.
Is a soda. But yeah, but like the little fucking like gas stations were the
yeah.
full service. They wore the little hats.
We come running.
We come yep. running.
I think Back to the Future.
Plop, plop,
yep.
fizz, fizz. I don't know.
Yep. Back in those glory days.
Yeah.
So yeah, so working on that, worked on Glitch.
Oh yeah, Glitch. Nice.
So I was Neville in Glitch, and also got to work last year with Viggo Mortensen and Captain Fantastic, which I don't know when it's going
to
be released.
That's the one where Trin Miller got to kiss Viggo
Mortensen.
Trin
Miller did get to...
literally, no, this is no joke, called in late to a shoot because she was busy kissing Viggo Mortensen.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Well,
yeah.
I think you can excuse her for
depth.
That. Oh, well.
Pretty funny.
I heard she slipped Viggo the tongue, not the other way around.
Ooh.
Yeah, okay. The thing is, though, knowing Viggo, he's probably the better kisser. He's better at everything, right?
True. Yeah, well, yeah.
Learned how to sword fight in 2 days for Lord of the Rings. Like, everything on camp. Like,
really?
He actually dodged. Oh, yeah. He was he was a last-minute replacement.
I knew he was a last-minute replacement,
he came
but...
in and learned to sword fight in, like, record time. The sword master on set... called him one of the like best students he's ever had. Of course, he also takes amazing still photography, paints, writes poetry, speaks Dutch,
rides horses.
I'm a little enamored. I'm just gonna say I would have kissed him. Oh, in a heartbeat.
Hey,
if I had an
opportunity, I would have kissed him. But unfortunately, it wasn't in the scene.
Well,
but,
try harder next time.
But you did get to actually work with him.
I did get to actually work with
him. Not be in the film that Viggo Mortensen's in.
Yes.
You actually get to share screen time.
I do. It just depends on how they are going to edit it.
He's
fantastic. They may look. It might look like it was shot separately, but the way they shot it.
See, that's so, that's messed up.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I mean, they're still working on it.
No, see, so. Thomas Brophy was actually in a camper in the Adirondacks. Yeah. We shot him on an iPhone, but, you know, our post guys, they're great.
Yeah. That's what happened in Scrapper. I was there on the day talking, saying all my lines for Michael Beach, and we were losing sunlight and had to get coverage before he went back to Sons of Anarchy. And so 3 weeks later, they came back and got the turnaround of me talking to a non-existent Michael Beach. And when I saw the film, I was like, it looks like I'm there. Yeah. I even know this is not in the same day. And I was just like, hold it, when did we get that take? You know, I don't remember ever saying the lines. This is awesome.
You know what makes me really sad is I couldn't do that scene because of the timing for my kids. Mm-hmm. And they rescheduled it anyway for you. So I could have still done it, but I didn't. Oh, that's fine. Because you were probably better.
I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's true.
But it's plug time because I'm trying to maintain my craft by working with Mr. Scott C. Brown in Acting for Actors.
Oh, yeah.
Training. Highly recommended.
I thought we were going with a different plug.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, okay. Well, put your pants back on.
Okay.
Well, it is hot here, so.
Yeah, and what I don't understand is why was it... it's supposed to be the back side. Why is the front side what's out?
I don't know.
Wow. You used different...
Fire plug.
Oh, gotcha. All I know is a wrench and a bunch of interracial kids run through it, and then Sesame Street music plays. It's weird.
I don't know. That's what happens every time.
West Coast doesn't have that whole fire plug thing.
No,
where during the summer they just fucking crank it open. Yeah. So there's not a lot of understanding over here about that.
I don't know why they don't. I mean,
well, California's out of water.
Well, true.
And there's nowhere else that's really hot enough to justify it.
Well, today
we can crack open the
fire plugs today, because
we already have one. It's called the Seattle Fountain.
Oh, and also we call them hydrants over here.
That's yeah.
Because they make things wet,
yeah.
Which is what the term hydrant means. It is a hydrant. It hydrates through, I don't know. Anyway, regardless of all that, we don't do that thing over here.
Yes.
We're pragmatic. We want to keep our water where it belongs.
No more hydrant jokes.
No more hydrant jokes. Okay.
We're not making golems out of them either.
Oh.
Well, maybe. So I guess we should go through our weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to start, Scott? Take us there.
What was, hold on. Okay. The calendar.
Oh, okay.
Meanwhile.
Back on the ranch. The Ponderosa, that is. You remember that? The Ronald Reagan rap from back in the fucking 80s?
No.
Oh, all right. Well, maybe we'll find a clip of it. We won't find a clip of it. We don't edit anything, so we can't find it.
But who did?
Meanwhile, back on the ranch, the Ponderosa, that is, they did this whole song about Ronald Reagan.
Who?
I don't remember.
Huh. I'll have to look that up. I want to look that up because
yeah.
That would have been pretty funny.
Go with your...
Okay, my week. So, let me... And yeah, rap song. Ponderosa rap song. It might even be... I don't know. Anyway, so... Yeah, that's it. Oh, it's Rappin' Duke. It's not Rappin' Ronnie. It's Rappin' Duke.
Oh.
There was a Rappin' Ronnie. Oh, are we going to play it? We're playing it. Hope you guys can hear this.
So you think you're bad with your rap? Well, I'll tell you. Hold on, I started the crap.
Let's just put a link.
Yeah.
Let's just put a link. Come on. That's the one.
I have to say,
that's the song.
I feel bad. I have never heard that before.
Oh, really?
I am a child of the 80s, and I've never heard that before.
That's
take away my 80s card.
Yep, it's gone.
Yeah.
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
So my week, a big heap in the square dance rap. Yeah, my beats. Now that was that. Okay.
Wow, he just did the whole head bob and we.
Oh my god! It's been a day. So I'm prepping my house because my kids are coming up, and my son's actually staying a little bit of extra time this
Sweet.
Year. So we're kind of moving the computer room out and making a bedroom. Erin was originally going to move the bed around in our room to make room for the computer desk and everything, and where she had it plotted was right against the shared wall, and I was like, he's a 15-year-old boy, don't do that. Like, that's not cool for a number of reasons. So we're going to figure that all out probably, you know, in the next couple of days. But it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Moving house shit around.
Yes, it
is. I did pick up a new toy, like I do.
Yeah, you did.
It is
an one we can talk about in family-friendly circumstances.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gigantic dildo. No. Uh-huh. Sorry, I mispronounced that. Intel Compute Stick.
Oh, okay.
Yes. what the Intel Compute Stick is, it's like a Windows Chromecast kind of thing, where it's just a little HDMI dongle with a little, the difference is you have to use a power cable on it, but it's a full Windows PC. That's
See how you got dildo out of that dongle dildo.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But it's like 2.5 inches by a little under an inch by...
And Windows 8 PC?
Windows 8.1. Upgradable to Windows 10.
What?
Yep. So it's only got 2 gigamajigs of RAM, though. But
you can't add SD card? For RAM. For RAM, okay.
Sorry. It comes 32 gig, and you can put in up to 128 gig micro SD in it. So it's got plenty of storage space.
Mm-hmm.
Streams 1080p just fine. Haven't tried a 4K yet, but it streams 1080p just fine. Does Plex and all that jazz just fine. Totally an awesome thing. The only downer is the output is not Dolby, so it only does stereo output, which is kind of a downer.
Yeah.
But overall, having a PC like that, Bluetooth is integrated, everything else is integrated, so you can get like one of those little combo, the teeny tiny combo keyboard mouse Bluetooth adapt, you know, works okay. It has a full-size USB port, so you can plug a hub into it. Overall, $150, turns your TV into a computer, not a good one, but a decent one.
Totally home entertainment computer.
Home entertainment computer, or, you know, office work, fine. I mean, I wouldn't be doing Excel spreadsheets on it. It's only got 2 gigs of RAM, but you could totally run Word or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Web browsing, all that jazz.
What about steaming?
Haha. So I tried that yesterday, and it worked great, surprisingly. You don't obviously install the games on the stick.
Right.
But in-home Steam streaming works great.
Nice.
Yeah. And you can also install... So one of the downers is... And this is going to get like, sorry, nerdy times. The UEFI boot on it is only 32-bit, which means you can only install 32-bit Windows.
Mm.
Because Windows has either a 32-bit or a 64-bit bootloader. It doesn't have both. Linux, on the other hand, will allow you to put a 32-bit bootloader on that loads a 64-bit Linux image. So if you put Linux on it, which you could use for, you know, you could use Linux, you could use... just a straight Ubuntu or something like that, or you could use one of the Linux Media Center distributions, which would work just fine. You could put 64-bit on it. Now, it doesn't have to address, you know, higher than 2 gigs of RAM, so it doesn't matter that much, but what it means is you can't run 64-bit Windows programs. Most Windows programs aren't 64-bit anyway, but the ones that are, you're screwed. So, anyway, it overall, for $150, total recommend.
Is there any word on a $200 stick in the works that would have 5.1 and would have 64
bit
capabilities?
I would assume that all depends on how well this one plays out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an Atom quad core. It's not like a i3 or anything like that. It's an Atom. My guess is if they do another one of these on the next iteration, it'll have 4 gigs of memory, and it'll be probably 64-bit, if I had to guess. I don't know about the 5.1. I'm going to definitely email them and say, hey, if you do this again, don't fuck this up.
Yeah.
So. And then other than that, oh, man, mostly it's just been work.
Yeah.
You know? The Blu-ray Kickstarter, of course, is... Oh, that's something we can talk about real quick. So the Blu-ray Kickstarter... has slowed down and hit its glide path, which is expected, right? We're probably definitely going to make the soundtrack milestone because we're only like $1,378 away from that. But there's a new reward level that was just added that Aaron gets to help out with. Well, what are you looking for?
That might be a question.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we'll hold off until the questions then. But anyway, so if you haven't checked it out yet, but you probably all have, the Dorkness Rising Blu-ray Kickstarter, still going strong.
What do we need to get to for soundtrack?
Soundtrack is 62,000.
62,000. We're at 655.
It went up $33 while you scrolled.
Wow.
It was at 622 and now it's at 655.
Okay.
Keep scrolling.
Way to go. Yeah, yeah. No shit. Don't stop. There is one more Kickstarter I wanted to plug real quick because why not? Mm-hmm. There is a Kickstarter called... what is it called? Just click on the Kickstarter. It's the very... No, just click on the Kickstarter logo because it's one of the featured ones. But it's a Leonard Nimoy Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah, by his son.
By his son, Adam Nimoy, right. And it looks amazing. So just close... the X is in the upper left because they're assholes. Oh, there you go. You got it. And then just... Well, you can just click the little forward arrow because it's about to go to it. All right, or that's fine. For the love of Spock. And this is going to be an awesome little documentary, so go check that out, too, if you like Star Trek. But... a lot of familiar faces. I mean, tons of familiar faces in this thing. Narrated by Zachary Quinto. They need $600,000. Oh, but why? You know, I know a lot of people are going to be, oh, poor son of Spock. He's probably a rich guy. Whatever. No, he doesn't have any money.
Yeah, no.
Like, Leonard Nimoy was a huge philanthropist. I doubt very highly that Adam has any of Leonard's money. And licensing shit from Paramount is fucking expensive.
Yes.
As we discovered with a previous Kickstarter we helped, I'm not going to name it just in case, yeah. But we discovered that licensing anything from anyone is a pain in the ass and is super expensive. So $600,000 seems about right to me to make this the right way.
Yeah.
So
plus I'm going to contribute.
Just whack a quarter of that off for taxes, fees, and everything else. So it's not going to be a $600,000 documentary.
No, it's going to be about a $480,000 documentary.
And probably. It's going to be probably a... $80,000 documentary with $400,000 worth of fees and dues and licensing and all that crap because Paramount's a for their own people. Yeah. I don't give a shit. It's about Leonard Nimoy. Give him the stuff. He's not doing it for profit.
That's true. That's true.
Made a hell of a lot of money for that company. So
Yep. Well, technically, he made a hell of a lot of money for Desilu, but true Paramount bought them. True. So
yep.
And by the time they were doing the movies, it was Paramount. So
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was my week.
Doing too much LDS.
Mm.
My favorite line from...
Ding dong. Hello. When,
whenever that was.
Oh.
Whichever of those, because I'm not a Trekkie.
That would have been... two, three? No, that would have been four. The Voyage four. Home. Because they went back for whales.
Yep. Oh, yeah, for the whales. Yep. Yeah. Right. Which was...
Wow. Double dumbass on you.
Yeah. How?
There be whales here.
How earthy.
Be whales.
How totally earth-hugging was that?
Oh, it was great. Now, keep in mind, though...
And I love whales. Do not get me wrong. I'm a huge whale philanthropist.
Yeah. Isn't that where the album title for OK Computer came from? No, it's really? Hello Computer, when he's talking
about Mac. Oh, yeah. Right.
Oh, so funny. A keyboard. How quaint.
My week was spent doing some contracted IT work for some friends of Andy's and Dennis's for a company called Gumball Enterprises, which is teaching leadership in entertainment for women and... women, entertainment, and something else... I just started.
Does it make a cool acronym?
No.
Women Entertainment is like web? No. That'd be great.
It would be.
Women would Entertainment be. And Blue Jays. Everywhere, Blue Jays.
But they're all about fun and freedom, and they're very much into the stopping human trafficking. Their philanthropy arm is freedom for predominantly women, but for everyone across the world. And I was doing some IT work for them, and we hit it off, and so it looks like I'll be doing some more IT work for them and helping them with infrastructure, and they may have a production studio that T-Bards may be doing some work out of.
Nice.
And then, so that was most of the week. It was doing all of that stuff, and then took a little break and went on a little journey this weekend for a couple days, just an overnighter.
Mm-hmm.
But happened to stop by some stomping grounds from 10 years ago and
mm-hmm.
used my handy dandy cellular phone video camera and got a better picture than the big ass camera that we originally shot certain things at this certain place. And it may be a 30-minute documentary that may get shoved on a certain Blu-ray. I don't know. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Yeah. But I had an awesome time rediscovering Fort Flagler.
Nice. And
I think that I found
at the very
almost
least,
everything that I wanted to find.
At the, you know what I would say is that's actually, rather than going on a Blu-ray because we are out of space.
are we officially?
We are officially out of space.
Okay.
In fact, the only thing that's saving us right now is the fact that the movie itself isn't a true 1080.
Right.
It's 1080, but it can live with a little bit of compression because it was upscaled from a 720 source, so it won't lose anything by crunching it just a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that's saving us right now. So there's, but.
So what else is going on? Because before we didn't have anything to
okay.
go on it.
Here's what. Well, no, we had all the stuff that was on the DVD.
Sure.
All that stuff.
Sure.
So there are 4 new commentaries, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
All of the tracks. The other thing is the money it costs to put something on. Every time you put something on, it adds like $1,000 just in mm-hmm. their authoring fees. So there's all the tracks, all of the subtitles. There is now 2 new music videos that weren't on the previous one in HD. Those will be in HD. There's Barden Away, which will be in HD. There is... what else is there? There's a lot of stuff.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, there's a shit ton of stuff going on. It definitely doesn't have room for another 30-minute something.
Hmm.
However, we could Vimeo that, mm-hmm. put it behind a password, and give that to every backer after the Kickstarter is over.
We could.
Potential. Maybe.
Want to get paid!
Well, make...
No, I'm just kidding. I'm so funny.
Make DG pay for our Vimeo fees this year.
Yeah, there we go. no, but I'm hopeful to use that as a way of starting the idea mm-hmm. of
well,
a larger project that we've teased.
And that being said, there is probably a space for that footage somewhere else.
Correct.
Given that.
Yes.
So, yay.
Yes.
Yay. Thomas?
It'll be like the, I just watched Big Hero 6.
Mm-hmm.
It could potentially.
1 through 5 sucked.
I know. It could potentially be to Big Hero 6 what the little French pug was.
Oh, the one that ate. The, like the stupid little dog that had to eat
yes.
the scraps.
So it's like the little proof of concept.
Was that called Hungry?
That birthed
something like Hungry.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Hmm.
But yeah, it could maybe it would be that a bonus feature on
maybe.
Something bigger and better.
So better, so good or better. Can't wait if we get greenlit on that.
I know
it's gonna be great.
Tom, you're up.
Okay. So, aside from work...
Okay, so, should we get the questions?
Oh, that's Scott. I am actually working with my writing partner, Robert Benedetti, on our... We're trying to come up with a trailer for my vampire zombie human screenplay that won the Vere West Screenplay Award for best... as Scott's laughing... That's okay. Let it out.
Is it all one character?
It's no.
Okay.
It would be great if it was, but no. It's a post-apocalyptic thriller with vampires, old school vampires, not
mm-hmm.
the Twilighty vampires.
Well, no,
no God, not
no.
shiny
no,
fuckers.
Not those shiny fuckers. And they basically are trying to take over the United States
okay.
through our government.
Right.
And zombies are kind of like. They're there because of a plague that this one of our protagonists, mm-hmm. the scientist, released on the world. And his daughter is actually a vampire hunter and who comes up with a zombie that is kind of like a vampire killer. So it's an interesting story. I can't get into too much more details.
Don't spoil it.
Yeah, don't spoil it. So we're trying to come up with a trailer to get some gusto to try to get this thing like off the ground and see if somebody would be interested in maybe picking it up.
Well, if only you knew people with cameras and production skills.
Well, I do want to talk to you, gents, because we're trying to come up with budgeting, and I don't. We don't know anything about that. So
$20,000.
Yeah.
For something like that, you're going to probably need like actual post effects and everything like that. An effects heavy shot, just budget $6,000 a minute. No joke. $6,000 a minute, minimum. For anything else, you can get away with anywhere between $500 a minute up to about $5,000 a minute, depending on what kind of stuff you have going on. But general rule of thumb for something like that, because it's going to be multiple setups, you're not going to be able to reuse anything. It's a trailer.
Right.
So, yeah, it gets kind of expensive, but totally doable.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you figure a trailer, 2 minutes max, maybe.
Right.
So, you know, max, you're looking at 10 grand-ish. If you've, you know, and that's if it's fucking like amazing,
yeah,
you know, indie amazing, but amazing. But you could probably pull something into the station there for like $2,000 to $3,000.
Okay.
We'll talk.
Yeah. Let's chat. I'll have my people contact your people.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to be contacting your people. So if they just want to talk to me directly,
I'm going to contact your people with a baseball bat.
Hey, I'd be careful. You heard his writing partner's name? His writing partner's name sounds like maybe you...
Eddie Bonaducci is what his writing
Bobby Benedetti,
name.
Okay?
Maybe you don't like float Bonaducci to the surface so good no more. You know what I'm saying? maybe them size 13s, they encased in a little bit of, you know, crustiness of the concrete variety.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just don't want Scotty to sleep with the fishes. You know what I'm saying?
God, he would, though.
Yeah.
Any port?
That's what I heard. That's what I've heard.
So many jokes.
Don't let Scott go to Innsmouth, is all I'm saying.
I actually have been binge watching a fantastic series from Showtime called Penny Dreadful.
I've heard of it. I haven't watched it.
It's very interesting.
What have you been binge watching it on? People like to know the platform that one could also
Comcast On Demand.
Oh, okay.
I do believe Penny Dreadful is on... It might not be on Amazon Prime, but I think it's on Netflix. I think.
Oh.
It's on something. I know Penny Dreadful's out there. It may be behind. It's definitely on Hulu Plus, if you have Hulu Plus, but it has commercials.
Okay. It's a pretty interesting... I mean, if you like gothic Victorian monsters, you know, like your Frankensteins, your vampires,
Is it supernaturally X-Files-y?
It's kind of X-Files-y, but, you know, the sets are gorgeous. The costuming is great.
Mm-hmm.
The acting is really good. Eva Green is the main protagonist. Timothy Dalton's in it.
Well.
Josh Hartnett.
No, I'm sold. Yep. Timothy Dalton. I'm done.
Yeah.
Seriously, you
He does
got
a
me.
Really good job. Yeah. He does a really good job.
Brian Blethyn was... Hawkman, who was Timothy Dalton?
We in, fly.
Yeah. In Flash, he was he's the Arrow, the Rangers.
Yes.
The, whatever
I can't remember his
were.
Name.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, that was awesome.
So highly recommended.
Cool. I'll check it out. Well, should we get to questions? This is going to be kind of a. It is burning up in here.
Yes,
it is.
I thought that we would go into another sub film type. Podcast, which we will have you on later, Mr. Brophy. But in the interest of 85 degree weather outside and me not having the AC set up in this room, we're all swimming in our own ball sacks. Wet.
Yes.
So, well, those image. Of us who have ball sacks, I'm sorry.
Thank you. All right. Finally. What do you.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'll. So are we going bottom up on these? Because I'll just read the first one.
Oh, sure.
So Rob McLennan asks, in honor of the Dorkness Kickstarter, any stories from the set you'd like to share or reshare? Well, I wasn't on the set. Brophy wasn't on the set. So, Scott.
I can share a story that I recently reconnected this story's genesis with the creator of this story. And also made comment on it and looked for the exact store on my journey to said reunion with said land of, yeah, I'm being really vague for no reason other than to try and
Game up. Matrix. We're no. talking. No, we're not talking about
no.
Game Matrix. Oh
no.
Coffee?
No.
No.
PBR.
Oh, okay.
So when we went to start shoot, so Darkness Rising was shot in two sections. There was the January shoot, which was everything real world, and we did that first. And the concept was we were going to, Pedro for president.
Napoleon Dynamite.
Napoleon Dynamite this thing and shoot part of it and go, here's the proof of concept. Here's the easy stuff. Now we want to shoot the fantasy thing and use the real world stuff that we shot in order to drum up money to finish the production. Because, of course, we shot our wad on that early production. And so we said, okay, we're going to take a couple months off. Christian and I did. A funny thing happened on the way to the forum. And in that time, they had drummed up a silly little political short commercial, much like Andy and I did for Cracked. Only they won $10,000 for their little video. And that is what paid Chris Mossio's DP fees so that we could shoot the second part.
That wasn't revamping, was it?
No. It was a commercial, Moose Drool Ale.
Moose Drool, oh God, yeah, okay. Yep, it's Moose Drool, yeah.
And so everyone met in Tacoma. We all piled into my fairly new Dodge Durango with third row seating.
Ooh.
So we got all the D6 into...
What is D6 for those who don't know?
D6 is a six-sided die, or in the case of Darkness Rising, Scott, Christian, Brian, Nathan, Jen, Carol.
Right.
The six main characters.
The six Darknesses.
Six Darknesses. And
would it be Dork Nye?
Dorkuses? Dorkies.
Dork Nye. Could be Dork Nye. And Dorktopus. It's really a D5 because people go, well, it's Cass and Lodge. Sorry. Sir Osric, Cass, Luster, Flynn, and Daphne. But Luster is male and female, so Luster split in two.
Mm-hmm.
So D6. So everybody is in the Durango. We're like, oh, this is going to be great. We're going to go up to Fort Flagler. We're going to camp and we're going to shoot and this is going to be awesome and wow. And we're driving up. We see the turnoff for Flagler on the right. We're like, oh, we need beer. And we need to be there in 5 minutes. Fuck it. I'm sure that there's a town just up ahead.
Nope.
And we can grab some beer at the next gas station we see. Yeah, no, we get all the way into Port Townsend, find the nearest store, pull into it, in the strip right up next to the big windows that says no parking fire zone, and wait. And one person ran in to get a soda or some water or something, and Brian said, I'll go get the beer. So Brian goes in to get the beer, and we're waiting. And the other person comes into the car, and we're waiting. And we're waiting. It's like 5 minutes. We're all like, okay, someone go in and look at the cash register lines to see where he's at because we got to get going.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was Nathan that goes in and he's looking up and down. He doesn't see, comes back, says, I don't see Brian. And we're like, well, go find him in the beer aisle. So Nathan goes to find him in the beer aisle. At this point, apparently Brian is checking out. So now we lose Nathan in the store.
Oh,
Brian,
God,
has checked out, comes to the car, and he's like, okay, we could go. We're like, dude, where have you been? We sent Nathan back in to get you. Nathan finally comes back out. We all get in the rig. Of course, I'm driving and freaking out. And
Scott doesn't like being late.
Have to drive south again and then find the Flagler. And if you've never been to this place, Fort Flagler is on a little island.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to cross another island to get to that island.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like an actual bridge and then a land bridge depending upon where the tide is.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're on the island and then it's on the northern point of the island. So we're still driving another 30 minutes going, where in the fuck is this place? And we're finally, in all this mayhem, asking Brian, well, what ultimate beer did you decide to grace us with?
Oh, dear God.
And he goes, well... Runs down the list of all the beers he was looking at, said, I couldn't decide, so I got PBR. which is fine. I love PBR. Sure. Everyone in the rig loves PBR. But that is a 30-second beer purchase that you walk in, grab the case, and walk out. So
this shit better be like super micro brew, amazing gourmet. If you're,
you know, Red Hook ESB is the lowest form that we will accept at this point.
Just be happy you got your beer. That's a bro right there.
Oh, it was great, and we were happy. But when we got there, Chris Dupenthaler had brought his portable bar. And so Brian was like, oh, yeah, I'll have one of those. And we all collectively were like,
nope,
you can't have one of these until all of those PBRs are gone.
Nice.
And so we were there for, I don't know, what, a week or something that we did. And so, and I make mention of that in the revisiting. But, yeah, it was it's an awesome story that we love. And Brian and I did some notes on the Darkness Rising for the Blu-ray, and he came over, and I had gotten PBRs, and this time we had red beers, so we had it was fun, and we kid him about that almost as much as we kid Nathan about him bitching about being in fucking aluminum chainmail. pussy is what Nathan Rice is.
Puffy. Have you seen that?
Not pithy, puthy.
Oh, no, yeah. It's a Sarah Silverman bit.
Oh, no.
She's like, we need to make it disgusting again, because pussy now sounds cute. So, puthy. Yeah. I love Sarah Silverman.
Indeed. Anyway.
So, I may have told that story before.
I don't care. It's been on
the commentary, but there you go, Mr. McClellan. Paula Moran writes in, what have been your favorite
locations for filming gamers, movies, and JQ?
Okay, it is a miss. Okay, what have been your favorite? Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah.
Flagler was for Dorkness. Fort Flagler was probably my favorite of all the locations. Mm-hmm. Not, I mean, there was a lot done there.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot done at Tacoma Cemetery.
Right.
There were a lot of other not favorite places. but of those two, I think Flagler was, just because of the camaraderie and the bonds that were forged in the fire of eating and sleeping in the dining hall.
I will say that for, I can only speak to Hands of Fate and JQ2. Hands of Fate, hands down, the hotel where they didn't know what to make of us, and they passed out sheets that said they're filming a zombie movie.
Oh, for Zoe.
But we owned Zoe that hotel, essentially. It was pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
Like, that was a lot of fun. We had a lot of places we could just go and chill out. If you have to film somewhere, like, a hotel is great. Because if you're not needed in makeup or on set or anything for like 3 hours, you can just go sleep again if you want.
It's
awesome.
I thought you meant the other hotel that we shot the couple scenes from that we didn't get before. And I was like, really? That skeevy place is your okay.
Nope, not at all. The production shop was fun, but it wasn't. I mean, it was production. It was a soundstage, you know. I mean,
yeah, and it's a cool.
It's cool.
Fucking
space.
Yeah. But yeah, it was not that hotel. That was awesome.
JQ2, hands down, it was Camp Long, because Chambers Bay was fucking terrible.
Yeah,
I did like the mansion in Tacoma. That was pretty cool.
Didn't get to be there for that.
But it was like, it was a cool set. Where you couldn't, like, everything was like, have a 1 foot berth on either side. If you scratch a wall, you will be killed. We will take you out in the street and beat you. So it wasn't fun. Camp Long was fun. It was warm enough, finally, because that was when we did the pickup shots with Fran Kranz. And it was June, and it was, like, actually, like, decent outside. It wasn't freezing. We were in just this beautiful wooded area all the time. We had these little cabins that we were able to, like, do stuff in and prep in. It was definitely the best there, but we didn't camp. It was too easy because everybody could just go home at night. I want a location like, you know, like Fort Flagler, where we're out there, like we are not at home, we are on a set filming for 10 days. That's what I want. So that's about where I am.
I would also say that Denning Castle was an awesome location. I think we had 2 or 3 days there for Dorkness. For Hands of Fate, I would say Gen Con. for filming location. Not my favorite to do those bits. It's really amazing because the stuff that we shot at Gen Con was before we really had context for any of the rest of the film, including a finished script. So we kind of knew the context of, well, you've come through this shit and you're now at the end and about to go on to your victory status. And it, to... No, to the actor's credit, we pulled it off.
No, I'm totally. Not gonna,
you know, it was, but it was so much fun to be there and filming and seeing people and having fans who were being totally respectful of the moments we were shooting, and the minute cut was yelled, then would interact with you. That was really cool.
I think we should bring up our least favorite filming locations, because those are actually pretty interesting. And it's not like least favorite, like, oh, we're complaining, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, there were some that sucked.
Yeah.
The game room for Hands of Fate was very tight. But it was, so we, the Pathfinder room where you guys were in the back room of the old D20 store.
Oh, yeah.
Super tight. From a crew standpoint, tough shoot.
Yes.
But the worst for me, like, hands down, the worst set. And I'm not going to... Part of me wants to really pick on Chambers Bay, but I'm not going to pick on Chambers Bay.
That was nature.
Jigsaw was the worst.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I hated Jigsaw for Hands of Fate. I hated Jigsaw
for JQ2.
I hated shooting at Jigsaw. It was noisy constantly.
It was hot
as shit. There wasn't enough power in the in the room. We had to run generators outside if the power went out, and it did go out during JQ. We had a prep, I mean, Jigsaw was set up so we had a prep room next to the studio space that we cleared out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't work very well.
No.
Now, the Karn set worked okay because it was a big open tent, essentially.
Right.
The Karn set was all right. Everything else sucked.
Yes.
The only worst set, and this was, again, from a technical side and having to fit in and all right, I'm going to get a little nerdy, camera nerdy again, but just deal with it. Humans and Households castle set.
Yeah.
The set itself was beautiful. I really liked the way it looked.
But you could only use one lens, right?
Well, no, we could use more than one lens, okay. But we had to back up into the exit of the garage. Like, we were in the hallway leading into the garage, shooting into the garage, and we were still like right up on you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because the cinema camera that we were using was the Blackmagic 2.5K cinema camera, which has a Super 16 sensor. That means if you compare it to a full 35, well, if you compare it to a full frame camera like a DSLR, Canon 5D Mark II, that has a full frame, a full 4x3 frame that's kind of modeled after 35, full size 35 mil film.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a crop factor. What a crop factor means is you have a multiplier for how long your lenses actually are. So a 50 millimeter lens on a full frame camera is a 50 millimeter lens. It's, you know, all of the calculations for how far the camera has to be are really easy to do. A 50 millimeter lens on the Blackmagic is 50 millimeters times 2.6. So what is that, 130 millimeters?
Yeah.
So 130 millimeter lens, which is a fucking zoom lens. Like, I mean, that's a really long lens. So... for the most part, we were using a 24, and then at one point we actually had to swap an 8 for the scene where the alarm goes off.
Yeah,
we had to swap to an 8 millimeter wide, which actually totally sold the scene. By the way, it actually really made that scene interesting and awesome. But Ben was kneeling on the fucking table with that thing,
mm-hmm.
and then doing all the camera movement. That set sucked, and we had to be super careful because all of the freshly carved walls were super easy to scuff.
Yep.
So we had to be extra careful. There was no room. Scott had to do a bit where he appeared and we had to move a bench out of the way, then move it back. We had to cheat everything. It sucked to film in. It looked great though. Technically, it was a very tough set because we didn't have a lot of options. The turnaround on that, if you guys watch Humans and Households, the turnaround where we're getting like Tom and I guess just Trin, Warrior.
Scott, Joe.
Right. I was just trying to... The Warrior didn't have a name. It was just the Warrior.
Yes.
That's right. His name was Flex in the real world scenes. But in,
right.
And that gets confusing too, because their real world isn't the real world, and it's the castle versus the... Yeah, so anyway. When we did the turnarounds on Thomas Gofton, the Warrior, and Joanna, the cleric, we were... The camera was up, like, on the highest tripod setting, and I was literally crushed against the wall while we were getting those scenes. Same with when Flop and Wrist comes in, Chris Odie's Flop mm-hmm. and Wrist. We also had to fake all that back castle with just a big black painted piece of styrofoam that didn't even have any texturing on it. Oh, it was tough.
Yeah.
But to his credit, Scott produced all of that, and he did a great job.
I think he did. On your list of worst places to shoot.
Well, it wasn't because of you.
No, I know.
It was a fucking, what, 12 by 12 garage?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, we didn't have a lot of room, man.
No, we didn't.
But definitely Jigsaw is my least favorite out of all of them. We did, so for Jigsaw...
For context, if you've watched any Rude Mechanical episodes...
That's where
we shot all of the Sumber catacomb scenes.
Sumber catacombs, Karn's tent.
Karn's tent.
The scene with, well, not entirely true, but some of the scene with Gary and Hiroku, what's his name? What's the Ninja Dragon Riders guy's name?
Oh, right.
So, but that was actually filmed downstairs in the loading bay.
Right.
But it still sucked.
Yes.
And we filmed inside of a fucking elevator, a freight elevator. That sucked. We also, I don't know if you noticed, lost Gary's mask.
Mm-hmm.
Halfway through that, because the pickup day we couldn't find it, so that's awesome.
Yeah,
we shot the Ninja Dragon Riders goodbye, like funeral, there, which I think that turned out really pretty.
Yeah,
we shot the card matrix scene
mm-hmm.
at Jigsaw. That was good.
Screen.
That was fine because it was open and nobody moved.
Yeah,
it
was what it was supposed to be—a mm-hmm. green screen thing. So
that was great.
That's its one utilization.
But, yeah.
So it's a green screen.
Now, some of the Corpse Worm's domicile was shot at a production studio, but a lot of it was.
None of the Sumber scenes.
None of the Sumber scenes. Those were
I'm introduced.
Right.
All of that Strong Like Bull stuff was shot
mm-hmm.
there.
With three total walls, I think?
Yeah.
We actually had... If you have a really good eye, you'll see that the walls repeat. You can look for scars on them and stuff, and they repeat. And if you have a really, really good eye, and you go and you look at the Zoe Patreon page, you'll see that they're the same walls in the background there.
But Jordan did an amazing job with zero budget.
Totally.
I mean,
totally.
He made that shit work.
Now, if you look again and you look at the top of some of those walls, you'll see set extension markers where we were supposed to get digital set extensions. Never happened.
Nope.
Yay!
For Dorkness, the worst place to shoot for me was the Hierophant's area. It's not Rose City Ballroom.
I thought it was a church gym.
It kind of is, but it's like it was purchased and then turned into a dance studio. And
maybe back
to a church, I'm not sure. But
gotcha.
The stained glass is tissue paper held up with tape. It was just the place we could find. Everything else that we found was amazing.
Right.
But that place...
it looks like a gym. It looks like a basketball court.
Yeah, and the acoustic... You know, everything about that place was wrong, and the only thing that mm-hmm. didn't seem... But it was like, well, it's kind of churchy. You know, the Knights of Pythias Hall, we should have just shot that scene opposite and not shot the ceiling... And that would have been really cool. But for Hands of Fate, the worst place would be what you said.
Mm-hmm.
For JQ Season 1, the best and worst place was Karkeek Park, where we shot.
Is that not counting the incident at Karkeek Park? Because that would make it the worst place.
No, that incident happened in Astoria.
Oh, that was Astoria. Okay.
Where it was all supposed to be shot.
Right.
But when we revamped and remade it, we shot all of season one mm-hmm. in two weekends
mm-hmm.
at Karkeek Park in northwest Seattle. The only problem was season unseasonably warm, sunny weather at a public park with kids, which meant airplanes to contend with, not only do you have trains to contend with, not only do you have children screaming and people potentially walking through your set with barking dogs, but an ice cream truck.
Oh, God, the ice. I forgot about the ice cream
going
truck.
Around.
Oh, my God.
And you can't find it because you're in the middle of the woods and he's three levels down at some other parking area.
But that shit
going
travels.
Through and it travels forever. So that logistically was a nightmare.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I would say for JQ2 shooting in, I mean, Kubota Gardens was an awesome location, although we were plagued by weather.
Well, of course.
Snow on the ground, first day shooting.
Windy, muddy.
Can't get my makeup to work then when we're doing the angel scene.
Rain.
It's raining all over the place. We're trying to walk over logs that are over water. Chambers Creek, hail, rain,
Jesus.
Shit.
Golf balls that never got removed.
You know, all of that stuff was just pain in the ass. And then
zombies
in my backyard.
Zombies that were incorrectly told to show up in their own,
in
their own
makeup.
In their own
makeup that looked like the Joker.
Yeah.
And then...
It's not their fault. It was the call sheet.
Yeah, totally not their fault. They're not a special effects team. and then... In June, when Fran's available, they shoot right here in West Seattle.
I know.
Where we have subsequently shot a number of things because it's an awesome place to shoot.
Oh, dude, it's great. If you guys go watch the Blu-ray Kickstarter, anything that's in a forest is shot like spitting distance from Scott's house.
Yeah.
Including if you're a backer for Barden Away, that was across the street from my house.
Yep.
Like it's this West Seattle...
The Cracked video with Christian.
The Cracked video with Christian. I'm glad all of that stuff is protected so nobody can develop it. But holy shit, there's a lot of production value right here.
It's right in the middle of the neighborhood in West Seattle.
It's great.
Literally in the middle. It's awesome. Okay, wow. We have talked half of the podcast with two questions. Tom, do you have any favorite locations? From filming for our Gamers Movies and JQ. Oh.
I think I'm just going to ditto what you guys said.
Okay, perfect.
I'm in total agreement.
Good answer. Rob McLennan. McLennan. My tongue. Reading about the latest Dorkness perk, way to go, Aaron, smile emoticon, makes me wonder if there's a specific type of costume either of you particularly like, but haven't had a chance to wear on set yet.
Okay, so first, let me talk about the perk, since I was going to talk about this earlier.
Yep.
We've added a perk. Now, it's an expensive perk, but it's expensive for a reason.
Yes.
This perk is designed to get more money for the Blu-ray, for some of the extra parts of the Blu-ray, particularly to get the soundtrack made.
Yeah.
So we had to add a perk that wasn't super expensive for us, but that did draw people's attention. So what we did is I asked Erin whether or not she could duplicate the Flynn the Fine hat. Not the cheesy second movie, or not the cheesy third movie hat. The Dorkness Rising leather amazing hat. So she was able to. She was able to get the cost well within where the Dorkness Kickstarter needed it. So there's going to be a completely limited number of these. I can't say for sure, but I believe the backer number max is 5. And then there might be as many as 20 more on backer kit. If you've pledged over 150, they are going to be expensive on backer kit.
Are they? Has it been?
Yeah, it should have been added. It should be at the 500 level. Scroll down. And I think it's just... Oh, you might have to refresh. It's called Dead Bard Hat. There it is.
Oh.
And we've only got two left.
Only three left.
Three are already gone. Perfect.
Wow.
So, basically, you're paying an extra $250 for the hat and a signed character sheet on vellum that will not be available anywhere else. Period. You can't get the character sheet through backer kit. What? There's only five, dude. I take it you didn't get consulted.
No, signed by Flynn the Fine himself, Scott C. Brown, designating one of the many bards that have died in battle.
Oh, you don't even know, dude. We just have your signature on file now. How do you think they're funding this?
Yeah, I...
By the way, don't check your credit. Okay. So the hat will be numbered, limited edition. The max number that will ever be made is 25. So five are available here, which is actually a better deal. If you get it on Backer Kit, it's going to be $250 straight up to buy the hat. But one, if you play the Dorkness module, it grants you in-game. So it's a real-world artifact that could grant you in-game stats. And it's a good stat, too. It's like +2 to... can you check it right there? It's like actually listed on there.
What, the stats?
+2 bonus.
When you wear this hat while gaming, you benefit from all the bards that have gone before you.
Yes.
Gain a +2 bonus to all bardic rolls.
And if you're not a bard.
If you're not playing a bard, gain bardic knowledge.
It's
other
pretty
side
amazing.
Effects may apply. Consult your GM before use.
So what we've done, and hopefully this will be a standing rule. I mean, obviously your GM can trump it, but we've introduced a real world relic that grants you in-game bonuses. Like, how cool is that?
That's
right?
Pretty awesome.
And it'll be limited edition, limited number. They'll all be numbered. We might even, if we have time, do a burned signature on the inside, maybe. That'd be kind of cool. Leather burned signature.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to be the one signing them, so.
Yeah. And guess who's not going to Gen Con again?
Is anyone in this room going to Gen
Con?
No
one listening to this has any control over that anyway. But no. I'm just saying... for all of you, not my choice.
No, not my choice either. I would have been a Gen Con. Scott would have been a Gen Con. Thomas,
I mean, I would
have been a Gen Con.
I would
probably.
Even, I would even get myself at Gen Con. I know we can get a badge. I just don't have a place to stay.
Same here.
So if anyone has a hookup with places to stay and help on airfare, I'm at Gen Con. But the company that I gave 10 years of my life to saw fit not to take me to Gen Con. So
well... Not the company you
well,
gave 10 years.
Well, true.
Let's not get into it too much, but it's not... Dead Gentleman. Dead Gentleman's not at fault.
Right, Dead Gentleman.
They're paying their own way.
Yes.
So.
That is 100% true.
Yes. So, that being said, do we have any costume pieces we haven't worn on set yet that we'd like to wear? Codpiece. Ginormous, demon-faced codpiece. Want to wear one of those.
I would like to...
I want it to be a god piece, not just a cod piece.
I would like to see strong like bulls warrior armor.
Yes.
When he stops... I mean, I own, by the way, strong like bulls leather armor now.
Right.
And it's a really glorious start.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what he is wearing as...
A scientist,
A scientist, philosopher, map maker, archaeologist. I want to see his battle shit. And I will make... If it's leathercraft, I will make it. I will work with whoever's making it. I will do whatever, but I want him to basically be a leather-clad samurai orc going to do some serious fucking
hell
battle.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
That's what I want to wear. Which means that there needs to be a fourth season of Journey Quest.
Brophy, what about you? You have any costume pieces that you've always wanted to wear on screen?
Probably. Neville glasses?
Those are his
glasses,
dude.
Those are my actual glasses, but I am going to get new ones.
Oh, okay.
I gotta
save
get
the
new
Neville ones.
Yes.
Save the Neville ones.
I will save those. probably recently, just seeing Mad Max Fury Road, the Imperator's... face mask.
Yes.
With Bane the teeth.
Immortan Joe?
Immortan Joe,
yeah. Funny story. So Aaron decided to do a...
That's the old guy, right?
The old white hair.
Yeah, okay.
So Aaron did a Photoshop, and I use that term loosely because she did it in Illustrator, which makes her a masochist. But she put the mask on the CEO of Nestle and then did that quote about humans not having a right to water. It was really funny.
Nice.
Yeah, she did a great job in Illustrator, which blows my mind because masking in Illustrator is a pain in the ass. It was such a Photoshop job, and she fucking just knocked it out in Illustrator like it was nobody's business. I don't even understand how Illustrator works, man. I fundamentally do not get it. I think you're either good at Photoshop or you're good at Illustrator, mm-hmm. and you hate the other one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm much better at Photoshop.
Same here.
I'm terrible at either, so.
That's all right. You're so pretty.
Anyway.
Pretty something.
Tom is pretty. Tom mm-hmm. is amazingly, amazingly beautiful man on radio.
Yeah. Oh.
Like they said about Howard Stern, you got the perfect face for radio,
oh,
kid.
Oh, boy.
And almost any other person on radio.
Yeah.
All right. And this month, we are... So here are May's subscribers. If you backed at $5 or more and your payment cleared, here's your name.
Thank you so much to Hawk Robinson.
Leslie Sedlak.
Todd McKimmy.
Zombie Orpheus Entertainment.
Trampas Johnson.
Gordon Duke.
Bo Pritchard.
Digby Davis LLC.
Paula Moran.
Amanda Cook.
James Herbert.
Matthew Hunt.
Tim Martin.
Rob McLennan.
Lada Jerf.
Laura Adams.
Tom Brophy.
Tom Stewart.
Donald Evans.
Donald Evans.
It was Don. Donald Evans.
Justin Everett.
Brad Roberts.
Jennifer Reifenberry.
Rival Guy.
And Chad Jones.
Thank you very much.
Thank you guys so much. You made this happen.
And for those of you at the super special levels, and we're not going to get into who's pledging what, but those folks will get their special bonus features
before the end of the month.
Before the end of the month.
Yes. So thank you guys. We have messages out to those people, and we will see you next week. Neil deGrasse Tyson.
If you're listening.
And you're in the Seattle area and want to come on our podcast.
Please tell us why people look better when you can't see them.
I'm sure it has something to do with the photoelectric effect.
Cowboys rule.
No, they don't.
And the first edit to the Two Bards podcast ever.
Bye.